listening to Revelations Radio News with Andrew Hoffman and Tim Kilkenny, a listener-supported podcast located at revelationsradionews.com.
We must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
We are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy.
Have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order. Either you are with us, or you are with the terrorists.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Podcasting to you from Edmond, Oklahoma, where there is thunder and lightning outside, and I don't think that it is AI video generated. I am one of your hosts, and my name is Tim Kilkenny.
And podcasting from Piedmont, Oklahoma, where I'm pretty sure it's not my house that's on fire, I'm Andrew Hoffman.
Yeah, a little bit of bit of excitement at the Hoffman household this evening.
Yeah, I mean, we planned to start a little late, and as it turned out, we would have been, you know, just getting started, and my power went out, and a giant flash, like semi-explosion outside, and neighbor's house got hit by lightning. So we got the whole fire department in the neighborhood. You might hear a few sirens, but I didn't smell any smoke. I think they got it pretty much taken care of. So,
well, there you go. Yeah. Don't want to have to mess with that sort of deal. That's when lightning strikes around here, it's very serious. I think I mentioned to you the house across the street from me was struck by lightning a little bit before we moved in, and after a bit of an insurance case and whatever, it's finally being put back to a spot where they could possibly move in again. So,
yeah,
kind of weird, I think. And this is just a general rule. I know we have actually several listeners here in the Oklahoma City area, but it feels like since I've been back, 2021, South End is where the tornadoes tend to be, and the North End is where the lightning tends to strike. So, I don't know.
Yeah, Norman's definitely got its share of tornado activity at least since we've lived here.
But yeah, yeah.
South Side, and obviously most famously Moore,
of course.
But
yep.
Yeah. But it was pretty exciting. It was pretty good storm clouds. I didn't get any good. I went for a walk and took a couple little videos of lightning. Didn't get anything great, but yeah, it was some ominous skies.
Yeah, yeah. We sat on the porch, back porch after dinner, and just watched the lightning. It's kind of fun. Kind of fun to just sit out there and watch it. You don't see lightning like that in the old Northwest.
No, not very often.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. Well, and even if there is a lot of lightning, yeah, you don't have a view of the whole
sky
horizon there.
Yeah. So you just get this, there's some, like, essentially you just see the bottoms of flashing clouds.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's kind of related to something that I actually meant to talk about last week, but the Texas, mostly Texas, but also a little bit of Oklahoma, wildfires, pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know how much I haven't even seen a ton of, you know, conspiracy stuff on it.
No.
Which is a little bit surprising. But I did find my guy, Harrison Smith, did a deep dive. So I linked to the whole thing in the show notes there. But I do have a pretty decent length clip where he lays out some of the reasons.
Give me a second. I'm having difficulty getting it going. So if you can set it up. Can you tell me this? Who is Harrison Smith again?
Harrison Smith is I think he's probably the youngest of the InfoWars guys.
Okay. Is he kind of a little bit of the more dry variety?
Yeah, he's the... Yeah.
Yeah. That might be a fair assessment.
So he's... We've played his clips before.
It sounded familiar, like I said.
Like his conspiracy theories that turned out to be true clip, and yeah.
Okay. There we go.
But just, yeah, feel free to stop it whenever if you want to. Mm-hmm. And we could talk about it in segments. I was running it through Audacity when the lightning struck, so it's kind of a long clip there.
Okay.
We've covered the Texas wildfires. A lot of people are very suspicious of them. One of the reasons it's probably good that they are, is that the wildfires themselves seem to miraculously, coincidentally align with the political aspirations of the globalists. Very convenient for them. They, of course, very open about their desire to get everybody off of beef, just end the livestock industry as we know it. They want lab-grown beef or bugs or any other sort of dehumanizing slush they can shove down our throat. They don't want you eating the most nutrient-packed, efficient, and by the way, delicious thing in the world. I mean, they're going to keep eating it forever. They're going to get Wagyu beef flown in on helicopters, but you're not allowed to have any. And it just so happens that 88% of Texas livestock, Texas largest beef producing state in the union, 88% of their feed went up in flames when these mysterious fires broke out. And it's not just me saying they're mysterious and sort of unprecedented. The governor of Texas actually made this statement in a way that should cause concern to anybody. Period. I was going to say anybody that, you know, cares about not being actively destroyed by globalist schemes and space lasers, but really that should be everybody. So everybody should be concerned about this. Clip number 5, here's Texas Governor Greg Abbott saying the Texas fires are unlike anything he's ever seen before. Let's watch.
I have witnessed and observed some extraordinary damage in our state. Could be caused by hurricanes or tornadoes. And frequently when you see the aftermath of that damage, there's some semblance of a structure that is still there. When you look at the damages that have occurred here, it's just gone, completely gone. Nothing left but ashes on the ground. Some early, and I will categorize as premature assessments, show that there are about 400 to 500 structures that have been destroyed. There's no way to say for certainty that's going to be the final number, because there's still the ongoing assessment process.
So nothing left, no part of the structures left. He's like, it was worse than a hurricane or a tornado. Because usually then there's at least something recognizable as a structure. Not in this case, though, which is suspicious. And earlier last week, we heard Joe Biden say a very mysterious thing about the fires in Texas when he said that some buildings have the...
Did you hear this clip, this thing he's about to say, and what was your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I mean, you could say, hey, Joe Biden just meant that, you know, you got to have the right kind of roof so it doesn't burn, as opposed to the, you know, the blue roof or whatever. But it is interesting. He also, you know, there's someone, because obviously it's not like Joe Biden's ad-libbing this stuff, right? You know, you would think the speechwriter would stay away from being laser focused on the Maui fires.
No, they want it to be more obvious than that. Like, whether Joe's in on it or not, they want you to think those thoughts.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, it's not, you know, you would think they would, you know, not mention the roof thing. He obviously has some interns that are aware of the internet, at least.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. So anyway, I didn't clip that. I thought, I don't know, but it is a weird thing to say. So I'll go back a little bit. Yeah. I'll go back a little bit, but yeah, it's a weird thing to say.
He's like, it was worse than a hurricane or a tornado, because usually then there's at least something recognizable as a structure. Not in this case, though, which is suspicious. And earlier last week, we heard Joe Biden say a very mysterious thing about the fires in Texas when he said that some buildings have the right roof and don't catch on fire. Slip up, an admission, a manifestation of dementia-caused hallucination. We don't know. But it's another point on the board as we connect these dots. Wall Street Apes published this video giving you an update as to exactly how bad these fires are, especially for the cattle industry. Let's go now to clip number 19.
Breaking news out of Texas. We just received an update from our Texas Agricultural Commissioner, Sid Miller, and I'm going to play that video right after this. But a few things that I just took away that are very, very, very important for folks to understand across the country. Now, this fire in Texas is now the largest in Texas state history, and we knew that about 3 days ago when that hit over 1 million acres. They're now at 1.5 million acres. They have 120 miles of power lines down. So the grid up in that part of the country is completely down right now. No grid, no water. The majority of these farmers and ranchers depend on well water. And additionally, there's no grass. There's no prairie land up there for the cattle to graze on. And there's
the Texas power grid is an ongoing operation.
Yeah.
Like, look how bad the power grid is in Texas. We need a national power grid. I mean, they did it with the ice storm a couple years ago. This is an ongoing thing. They're pushing for, like, oh, wouldn't it be great if we just had a national power grid? And I've said, many people have said, that's a terrible idea. Absolutely terrible. Yeah. But it just didn't, you know, I think this was an ancillary benefit in this case to the globalists, but it is an ongoing thing that they keep bringing up. Like, oh, look at the power. It's bad in Texas. Oh, the power's bad in Texas.
It's not like they don't know this, right? Like, there was so, I was in the military. I was in the Navy. There were so many redundancies built in to make sure that everything wasn't interconnected and fall, you know, could, so it would fall at the same time.
Right.
There are people within the government that know how to set this up. This isn't just an accident that they want to get everything connected.
Well, and we had the Joe Biden clip where he wanted to get all the electricity underground, right? Which there's, you know, there's pros and cons. But if you have stuff go bad that's underground, it takes a lot longer to fix, too. It is more protected and less happens to it on a regular basis, but it's not just a slam dunk, like, everything should be underground. Let's just spend all the money. It's really expensive to get it underground. And then, you know, it's not a panacea once it is. But
100%, man. 100%. 100%.
you know, you want some fiber internet. If all your utilities are underground, there's no poles, it's a lot more expensive too.
But yeah, for sure. So I was in the aircraft carrier station in Everett. Guess where all of our planes were? Station Everett, Washington, just north of Seattle. Where are all the planes?
I don't know.
California.
Wait a second. Okay, so I'm not following you.
Yeah, I'm picking that up. So if we take a plane, if we attack the carrier and sink it, you can't. The planes aren't anywhere near it. So you sink the carrier. Planes are nowhere near it. When the carrier goes out to sea, it leaves Seattle, drives all the way down to Los Angeles, goes off the coast of Los Angeles, pulls in for a day, picks up all the people who are walking on board with all of their stuff, flies out to international waters, and then all the planes that are in California. I can't remember what the name of the base is down there, but most of the F-18s are on that base. They all fly onto the boat. You don't have they don't store the planes near the boat. There's redundancy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's constant redundancy because you can't, if you sink the boat, you're not going to sink all, like destroy all the planes. It's, you know, and it's like that with nuclear stuff. Strangely enough, this is kind of I would say it's a little known fact, but I think it's kind of widely known. So I'm not going to be letting out any secrets or anything, but there's a small naval contingent at Tinker Air Force Base, like one of the most inland bases in the whole country. And they do some of the nuclear stuff. So they have some of the nuclear codes. They are in constant communication with planes that are flying around the world and nuclear subs that are flying around shipping, driving around the world. And they are the ones that are in contact with them and will give orders to them, do like surface warfare monitoring, under surface warfare monitoring via the planes, because it's one of the most inland bases that there is. So you wouldn't expect that they're the ones who are in charge of all the nuclear subs, but they are. But anyway, my point is just this, it's the same. It's like, it's not a coincidence that they want to tie everything together. Like, oh no, who could have thought of it? One weak, weak point and the whole grid went down for the whole country. I wish somebody would have, nobody really could have thought of it or would have had the imagination to think of it. They think of it all the time. They do it constantly with everything they do in the military. They know these things, but we're just made to think like, oh, it'll be so much better when everything is connected.
Well, and just a little bit of a rabbit trail.
Oh, we're already rabbit trailing, buddy.
The AT&T outage. Yeah. I mean, so their official explanation is software update gone wrong.
Yeah.
Which it has to be software. There's nothing physical that would impact AT&T nationwide.
Right.
There's no, you know, that's not how. Usually you get, if there's a cell phone outage, it's because there was a fiber cut or a, you know, switch went down or what have you and impacted one little section, not the whole country. It was pretty crazy to have a nationwide cellular outage for. And people were freaking out thinking it was more than just AT&T because they were trying to call AT&T phones. But
yeah, I didn't understand that. I think it's just short-sightedness and strangeness that people didn't figure that out. Like, anyway, whatever. But yeah. Okay.
Been a bunch of feed and feedlots that have burned down too.
The largest fire we've ever had in Texas. It's the largest fire we've ever had in the United States. It's almost at 2,000 square miles, a million and a half acres. Preliminary reports, 3,000 head of cattle. That number will triple or quadruple before it's over, especially when we start euthanizing the cattle that have had their hooves burnt or their udders burnt. We're going to have to, you know, put a lot of these animals down. It's a sad situation. We've had over 500 houses and barns destroyed, and that number continues to climb. We've had two fatalities. Thank goodness it's only two. But we also have five firefighters that have been injured. We've got over 120 miles, Sandra, of power lines that are down. Now, this country's sparsely populated and very arid, so there's not a lot of stock water. Most of the water comes from wells. So not only is this livestock out of grass, but there's also no water. So it's a very desperate situation.
So, largest wildfire in Texas history. Devastated the state's agriculture, blazing through more than 1 million acres of land in the panhandle, killing thousands of livestock, destroying crops and gutting infrastructure, and even boiling the water away. Over 85% of the state's cattle population is located on ranches in the panhandle. According to Texas Department of Agriculture, in 2021, agriculture accounted for 9% of Texas's state gross product, adding $186.1 billion to the state economy. And it's unclear how many cattle were exactly lost in this fire, but it's obviously been a devastating turn of events for them. But a very beneficial one for the globalists. Oh, how very convenient. You wanted to pass laws and you'd have to do a bunch of, you know, corporate takeovers, try to get rid of cows, or you can just burn them and their food all to death. So, hey, whatever works, right? I'm very suspicious of this.
Is that the end of it?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's more, but that's the part I had time to listen to, and I cut some other stuff out. So, yeah, I'm suspicious too. I don't have any, like, set theory on this is exactly what happened. It's just, I think there needs to be maybe a little predictive work done. Like, because we had all the seemingly random fires and planes crashing into and just, you know, all the Ice Age farmer stuff on the food processing side of things, especially, you know, the organic farms, and let's get them replaced with the Bill Gates artificial food facilities. And then you got the Maui fires just happen to be where the people won't sell their houses and they want to make the smart city. I did see there was a supposed smart city plan for Amarillo, which is kind of funny, but
yeah. but I was going to interject with something here real quick because, you know, we both don't really have any idea what's happening over there. And for those of you who live elsewhere in the country, these are big states, man. Goodness gracious. So like the panhandle of Texas and the panhandle of Oklahoma, I mean, that might as well be another, I mean, that's like, that's two states away in the Northeast. I mean, at least that's far away from us. We don't know what's going on over there.
I've been most places in the state, but not the panhandle.
You still haven't been to the panhandle. And it's like, I mean, it's basically Colorado. It snows up there, man. Like, you can get to parts of it where it's snowing and frequently. So, So that, and then the Amarillo is much, I don't want to say the word maligned, but it's kind of famous for being boring and just nothing out there. It's just cows. Like, there's a ton of cows. It's super flat. I think you're Lonesome Dove and some great westerns all take place out there. I think there was, I think Geronimo was out there. I think there was a lot of action out there. You know, there's history there to kind of follow up on. Huge ranches, Texas ranches there are, I think, one of the biggest ranches in the whole United States is out there. So, anyway, it's very remote is what I'm trying to say. And What an interesting way to do the cows, because if you get rid of the feed, that's going to cause a problem that might actually get rid of the cows. Because I don't know about you, Andrew, but living here, I feel much more connected to the cows and less like they're going to be eliminated from us than I did in Washington, because I never saw them. But here I'm like, well, there's still cows around, so we're good for a while, right? Like, and it is like the most nutritious food. Like, if you really listen to your body and like really listen to it and eat different foods, and like, you know, I'm doing a ton of exercising lately, training for the next marathon, and when you eat, you know, some sort of like carbs, or when you eat some chicken, or when you eat, like, your body reacts differently. But if you fully listen to your body when you eat red meat, like especially steak, like that's like the best food there is. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
it tastes delicious. My wife made a roast the other day. We split a quarter with some family members, and my wife made a roast.
Oh, nice.
My son is like, is there more of that? I want more of that. Like, you know,
and that's what you have to do to actually get Oklahoma. I mean, it seems,
yeah, no, it's true.
Crazy.
Yep.
But if you go to the grocery store, mm-hmm. you might be getting stuff from South America.
It's most likely
with the USDA
South America, yeah.
label slapped on it, and they're shipping our stuff out to China.
Yeah. You know? My stepdad called me, said, "Hey, going in, it's going to be about 900. I'm going to get a quarter." I think that's what it was. So we got a quarter, or we split a quarter. I don't remember, but he's like, "It's going to cost me 900. You want, I was like, "Yeah, I got half of that. I'll go half." So, and it's not too much. It didn't fill up the freezer too much. So yeah, we love it. It's been great. But yeah, you're right. That's like the only way to get it. And by the pound, it actually was a lot cheaper than that. It was another, let's say, 25-30% of the cost of the meat to get it clean, slaughtered, like, I forgot the word, processed. Mm-hmm. So anyway, but it's been good meat. A lot more grease, a lot more natural, like, juice. It's good stuff, man. I guess we should, never mind. What I was going to say, I'm not going to say. I don't want to out any of our listeners as having fresh meat.
But, KNC cattle, I got to say, you know, KNC cattle, which it is Texas, not Oklahoma, but
right,
that's still the best steak that I've had. So it's grass-fed and then organic grain finished. So you kind of get the best of both worlds there.
Yeah.
Because if it's 100% grass-fed, it's can be a little tough and stringy.
Yep.
But, but you also don't want the stuff that's where they were feeding them old, expired, you know, General Mills cereal for the end of their life. So,
you know, cereal in this economy, it's a good thing to eat for dinner. You know, I was thinking the other day, I was like, you know, that Honey Nut Cheerios and Quaker Oats have like the highest amount of glyphosate of any food product that is in the market today. And I was like, you know, these bills are piling up.
Chloroquat, little bonus yeah. chemical there.
Yeah. But you know what? You know what also is annoying is high grocery bills. So why not put them together? Glyphosate, it's what's for dinner. We could just have it for dinner.
Yeah, and then, you know, you eat breakfast cereal, that's totally not going to impact the way that you, like your appetite or
sleep.
Not going to constantly be hungry and want to, yeah.
Yuck, 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 yuck. Yeah, Jesse Itzler, you know who that is?
I do not.
Yeah, he invented he's taken a bunch of Fortune 500 companies. He sold a private jet company to Warren Buffett. His wife created Spanx, the Spanx company. He also made Zico water. Anyway, he's a marathon runner and entrepreneur, motivational speaker, but he's pretty mad about the cereal for breakfast thing. I think it's like all he's been talking about for like the whole last week. He's like, this poison for dinner. Like, just give our kids poison because the bills are kind of high. There's a little bit of pressure. Let's just feed them terrible food instead.
It's not like cereal's even cheap.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
Itzler's also famous for one of his dietary things. No, there's not a lot of science to back this up, but he is famous for just constantly just preaching this, but he refuses to eat anything that's not fresh fruit before noon. So nothing that's not fresh fruit that he can break down easily before noon. So in a time of intermittent fasting and all these different ways of eating,
yeah,
it's kind of a interesting take on it.
Well, it's because your body is going to go for sugar first. So that would be a better source of sugar than, like, you know, breakfast cereal. So if you're trying to do a lot before noon, that might be a good way to go. Like, yeah, if he's a marathon runner, if he's running for 2 hours, it's, you don't, because it, with the intermittent fasting thing, your body will start to break down muscle before it will break down fat. So it's kind of a,
really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
So you can not have sugar, but your body then basically breaks down your lean muscle tissue and then builds it back at night. So you want to get it into actual fat burning somehow.
So my goal is to run a sub-4 hour marathon. I'm aiming for sub-4. I'd love to get like 3:30, 3 hours, 30 minutes. I'm doing a lot of training right now, pretty much to the part of training where like it's my whole personality. People are like, what are you doing? Like, oh, I'm running. But I do most of my running like super early, like 5 a.m. But I ran an insane amount of miles last month. Like, I can't even believe it. Just take a wild guess. Like, how many miles did Tim run for training for his marathon in February? Just 29 days.
150.
Actually, he's, goodness gracious, this guy, 163. 163 miles last year. So it's like
a lot.
It's a lot. I ran 850 miles last year total.
Yeah.
I'm already up into almost 300 total. So anyway.
So crazy. Gary Brecka.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I always see his clips on Facebook and I don't know how to pull those off of there.
Okay.
But he's the one we did play a clip of Dana White talking about him.
Okay.
He's the, where, you know, he's basically your body needs minerals and what have you, but he recommends like 4 ounces of protein in the morning.
Like, oh, okay.
Like within 30 minutes of getting up. So that way
it kicks the body off as looking for that.
And then exercise off of that, as opposed to either nothing or some, you know, obviously everybody agrees you don't want the the poison, but
no, for sure. But you know, it's kind of weird, the in the marathon world, I don't want, and hey, there's a listener who sent me a whole book. I appreciate you. I think it was Matt. I'm sorry if I messed your name up, but if I got one of you confused, need to know. It's either Matt or Nick, but there's a book called Primal Endurance that talks about running distances and eating mainly just meat sources, almost like a keto type of diet where it's just looking at, anyway.
Traditionally it's like, oh, you needed
a
bunch of spaghetti and carbohydrates.
And to be honest, some of that is true. Like, you will, what they say, bonk, B-O-N-K, you will bonk if you have really poor nutrition the day before, and then you start getting into, you know, you start getting into mile 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. Those are, it's, you know, what you had yesterday really matters. So,
yeah.
So they all tend to carb load, pizzas, spaghetti, all that sort of stuff. But then you do have a relative obesity level of marathon runners, which is not like they're actually obese, but just a higher body fat percentage than they probably should have. And a lot of that might be due to all the carbs and stuff. So there's a whole topic in there that we could go on and on about, but I'll tell you what I've learned. If you're going for sugar and you're just going for the sugar hit unabashedly, a little spoonful of honey is the best way to go. It's like God's candy, and the body seems to be able to metabolize it and set your glycogen level at a level where it's not like, you know, 20 minutes later, you're like, gosh, I need more of that. You know what I mean? Right. Like when you eat
a cookie. It's real.
Yeah.
It's when you not eat artificial.
Exactly. When you eat a cookie or a piece of chocolate or something like that, like 20 minutes later, you're like, I need more. Right. With honey, you don't. You get that. You get the sweet, and then it doesn't do that. So I love yogurt. I love all dairy products, man. Dairy products are good for you. I think that the ultra pasteurization that takes out the lactase is a scam. But I do love me some milk products. So anyway, way off topic here. We got another clip from Harrison Smith here.
Well, let's, before you play that, mm-hmm. I got my first, I'll report back, mm-hmm. but, in the break room at work,
okay.
There's a big old refrigerator. You can put your lunch in or what have you.
Yep.
There's a note on the door. If anybody wants some free-range eggs, Texas number.
Yes, thank the good Lord. Good.
So I texted the number, and super nice guy. He drives down to the city from outside of Guthrie yep. every day. He said it's not too bad, but got a little hobby farm up there and a bunch of chickens. So 18 eggs for $6. Not too bad.
That's what's up. And that's good eggs too. Have you heard maybe we already talked about this. I apologize if we did, but I was talking to a gal who raises chickens down outside of Norman. She goes, you know, chickens are the gateway to drug to conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
Why is the yolk orange? That's weird. How did that happen?
Yeah. The shells are different colors?
Who are the Cargills? 9/11 was an inside job. P-TECH. Gary Webb.
It's basically a straight line.
Yeah. Well, good for you, man. I'm happy for you. Those are the things we got to be doing. And honestly, we should encourage others to do that. Find the local, I got too many eggs and I want to sell them. Guy, find the local raw milk guy. Find the guy who will kill the cow. We got two examples for us. Way easier for us here. Way. I'm not even going to pretend like it's as easy for everybody else around the world to do that. But way easier for us. But it's still important to do it. It's still important to give it a whirl. Even if you just got to go to a co-op or a farmer's market, get some people's number. That's the best part about the honey. The honey's made here in Edmond. So.
Yeah, and then you get the added benefit of helping with allergies too if it's local.
I don't ever struggle with that. So yeah. Could be part of the reason. Anyway. Well, very good. If we get this rule of the show, if we have one Harrison Smith clip, we have to have two. So it's like we'll go none for, you know, months at a time and then boom.
Yeah, this is a good standalone. He goes over Victoria Nuland's career. And as a side note,
did you see what I threw in the Telegram?
No.
It was the picture of the bad guy from Ghostbusters. You don't watch a lot of TV, so the bad guy from Ghostbusters who was a painting that came to life in the original Ghostbusters. Basically the joke is I was today years old when I realized that guy was Victoria Nuland, and it showed a current picture of her.
Well, did you see the post of her first in government picture?
Mm-hmm.
She was
kind of hot.
It's like, yeah. Man, evil will wreck you.
That's exactly what I took away
evil,
from it too.
Evil plus seed oils equals.
Yeah. Ugh, that's what I took away too. Like that's not a normal progression. Cause like you see these, forget seed oils, man. Seed oils looks like an inflated version of yourself with a couple wrinkles. She looks horrible. Yeah. People go look at this. We're not, you know, we don't talk about people's looks often, but the difference is really, really significant. And it makes you think, hey, the person who was helping with Maidan, getting people off, taken care of, moving the right people into government, handling it. I mean, if you listen to the authority with which she made that F the EU phone call, she was calling a lot of the shots. Goodness gracious, I'm helping people buy their most expensive asset they've ever had, much less overthrowing a country, installing people, killing people. Like, that's got to be so stressful. And then doing it the way that she was doing it. I mean, that's rough, man. That's rough.
Yep. Yep. It's,
ding dong, the witch is dead. Victoria Nuland is retiring. The world destroyed. She can retire now and enjoy the fruits of her work. Over the past 3 years, Toria has led this department in the Sahel, Haiti, and the Middle East. What'd you do in the Sahel? Haiti. How's Haiti doing? You had a big part in Haiti, did you? Well, how's the Middle East doing these days? How's Ukraine doing? Is there anywhere that you've had influence that isn't in a state of war? Oh, great! She's being replaced by the guy who oversaw the withdrawal from Afghanistan. Cool. Imagine being in charge of the Afghanistan withdrawal, and you're sitting there like, I might be brought up on charges. That did not go well. Get a call from your boss. Like, hey, boss, how's it going? Hey, yeah, you saw the video, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, they're dead. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they died too. Yeah. I'm being what? I'm being promoted?
That's how it works in government.
That's how it works in government. That's my gal out of Washington, whatever her name was. Washington State. She went right from screwing up their unemployment to being in charge of the nation's unemployment.
Getting ripped off for hundreds of millions of dollars for the state of Washington. And yeah. Hey, let's get you in the federal government.
What the heck was her name? It's escaping me. Dang it. But yeah, no, that's awesome. And kudos to John C. Dvorak and Adam Curry for creating a segment, Where in the World is Victoria Kagan Noodleman, to the sound of Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego, because wherever she went, is bad stuff happened.
And this was just the last 3 years.
Yeah, that was
she goes way back.
Oh yeah, she goes way back. I think the real blood on her hands is 2015. The whole Maidan thing. She's out there with the cookies and John McCain and Lindsey Graham and some shady dealings. Now we know that there was chemical weapons labs. There's huge amounts of human trafficking, hacking, like just crazy stuff going on there in Ukraine. Weapons smuggling.
Well, and it's a part of that clip made me wonder what's going on in Haiti?
Yeah.
You don't hear about Haiti anymore. Oh, it's really not going well right now. So I've got an article.
Yeah. They talked about this on the PBD podcast today. It is a bloody, bloody mess right now.
So when Haitian Prime Minister Ariel Henry filled the void left by the assassination of the country's president in 2021, he did so over the protest of wide segments of the population, but with the full-throated support of the Biden administration. I don't even remember wait a second. Was the guy that got assassinated, did he not want the COVID vax?
I believe that was it.
Yeah. Now, almost 3 years later, Henry's grip on power is hanging by a thread, and Washington is confronted by even worse choices as it scrambles to prevent the country's descent into, it says anarchy, but it should say chaos. Those are very different things. They messed it up deeply. James Foley, a retired career diplomat and former U.S. ambassador to Haiti, said in an interview about the Biden administration's support for Henry, "They rode this horse to their doom. It's the fruit of the choices we made." The embattled prime minister left Haiti 10 days ago and has since crisscrossed the world from South America to Africa to New York and now Puerto Rico, all while staying silent as he tries to negotiate a return home that seems increasingly unlikely. The power vacuum has been exacerbated by the almost complete withdrawal of police from the key state institutions and a mass escape of hundreds of murderers, kidnappers, and other violent offenders from the country's two biggest prisons over the weekend. Kind of, you know, when even the prisons stop working, yeah, it's not going well. Haiti remained paralyzed Thursday after another night of attacks on police stations and other targets by armed groups that have vowed to force Henry's resignation. The country's acting prime minister, filling in for Henry while he is abroad, extended a poorly enforced nighttime curfew through Sunday. Stubborn U.S. support for Henry is largely to blame for the deteriorating situation, said Monique Kleska, a Haitian writer and member of the Montana Group, a coalition of civil, business, and political leaders that came together in the wake of Jovenel Moise's murder to promote a Haitian-led solution to the protracted crisis. Yeah, that is the guy. Man, we've been messing with Haiti for a long time. This is where the famous "just send your cash" clip comes from, was the Haiti
earthquake
weapon. I mean, earthquake, naturally occurring earthquake, just random, you know, stuff just randomly happens. Just a happy coincidence.
Hillary Clinton's
kidnapping.
Taking kids out of there. I mean, this is as old as Confessions of an Economic Hitman, which is not a new book, but yeah, we've always been. If it's Western Hemisphere stuff, it's, you know, full purview of the CIA and clandestine warfare, unfortunately.
Yeah. So it's like, why can't we just let them run their own country? Bring in the blue helmets for, what was it, malaria they brought in?
Yeah, what even is the reason to keep messing with it? Just don't want to have a normal, I don't know, normal running government we don't have control over? Is there slave labor situation? I mean, what is it? It might be, this is a dark thought, but it might be the whole Epstein. There's several other islands right there. Richard Branson has one, a couple others. It might be a human trafficking type of deal.
Yeah, that could be part of it. And it was a big money laundering operation. I know that. And then it's a eugenics experimental zone where they said, oh, would you like food? You can have food, but it's really important that you start doing lots of abortions and birth control. So, oops. Yeah. And then there was the Clinton brother with the, was it gold mines?
Oh yeah. I forgot about that. His name's on the
There's Roger Clinton, right? He's
yep.
the
yep.
He's is to Bill Clinton what Joe Biden's brother is to Joe Biden. That's how it works.
Yep.
So I'm sure they never talk about business though, just like
Joe and his son.
Brother. never talked about it. You got anything? I only have one other short clip, and
I got some kind of random stories, clips here. Let me take a look. Well, we got, since we're talking about Biden, here's my Trump Biden clip. This is from Matt Attack. He is the Asian gentleman with the big Instagram following, interviewed Tucker last couple weeks ago. Kind of synopsized the situation with the 9-0 Supreme Court ruling. I mean, I can't believe it. 9-0. We should probably talk about it. Andrew, you know, they can't take Trump off the ballot.
Shocker.
The stage is set. You now have a binary choice between President Trump and President Biden. 45 versus 46 to see who gets to be 47. On one side, you have the guy who's known for mean tweets and coining the phrase fake news and speaks freely what's on his mind. On the other side, you have the guy that has his team write his post, get softball ice cream questions from the propagandist media, and can't speak without note cards. On one side is a president that started no new wars and had a priority on a safe border, even suggesting something as crazy as building a wall. On the other side is a president who supports endless wars and open border policy and would rather use American tax dollars to protect other countries' borders than our own. On one side is a sworn enemy of the deep state and Washington establishment, those who play God with our lives. The other is a man who can't even verbally acknowledge that they exist. The stage has been set. The game laid. It's Trump versus Biden. This is our reality. It's time to pick a side. Was your life better under Trump or Biden? How do you feel about the current direction of our society? Lawlessness in the cities, overrun by drugs and homelessness, deteriorating family values, redefining of gender, uncertainty of cyber warfare, blackouts, and World War III? If the election were today, Donald Trump would win, for sure. But that's exactly what we said 4 years ago.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I'm beginning to... go ahead.
Quote my girl on the plane. The elections aren't real.
Yeah. No, it's it's true. What do you mean your girl on the plane? I'm missing the reference there.
No, the meme where she says,
oh, that's right. Real. That's right. I forgot about that. Good old Oklahoma State coming out, showing their true ways. What was I going to say about that?
Well, I do think they're going to let Trump win, though.
It's starting to feel more and more like they want Trump in office for the like mega collapse or something.
Yes, I agree with that. Because I think it's getting, you know, they've pushed it out a long time. And there's definitely, you know, this thing is not going to keep going indefinitely if they try to blow it up. Like, it'd be pretty easy to blow it up. You pretty much just have to.
You're talking about the financial system. We should never talk off air, because when we do, we start heading in a direction with our conversation, and then people don't necessarily know what we're talking about. But yeah, there are some cracks in the facade of the financial situation at this point. And I don't just mean inflation numbers and grocery store prices and average American. I mean, you know how many videos there are like out there right now? These TikTokers, they're just like, is anybody else drowning financially? Is anybody else having their credit card bill going up, their bank account, you know, balance is going down? I think it's a pretty common feeling right now. And I think that is the goal. I didn't bring any of those clips because, to be honest, none of them are especially poignant. And most of them contain a lot of the F word because they're pretty frustrated. But yeah, it does feel like they're trying to kind of drain people's resources down right now. And then you let Trump in, and then boom, the worst collapse ever. And then you blame him for the whole thing.
Because you could look at it as good news. Like, hey, Bitcoin's pumping.
Yep.
But, and gold's up and what have you. But
gold's all-time high. Bitcoin, not all-time. Is it all-time high at this
point? It's pretty darn close. Yep. It, you know, could be, by the time people are listening to this podcast, could be an all-time high. But, or it could be 10% below an all-time high. You never know. Never know with Bitcoin. But
huge upside, especially short term, but also a phenomenal risk. Like it's pretty
volatile,
risky play.
But what is it? What is driving it? There is some stuff. Okay, they open it up for ETFs, like all at once.
It's amazing. It's like a mania right now. Everybody's jumping into it because they don't know where else to go.
Right. But this, if you look at it as being a dollar alternative, which it is, and the idea is, okay, you know, there's no intrinsic value in Bitcoin, but no government institution can decide to make $21 billion in, you know, 21 billion bitcoins instead of 21 million. Like, that's right. Written into it.
Right.
And that's when you see what's happening to the dollar, that's a big deal. And people are like, oh, I think I'll bet on the thing that where there's only going to be 21 million of them no matter what. And it's good news if you own a lot of Bitcoin, but if you're just an American, not such good news.
So, absolutely. Can we talk about the guy who single-handedly caused the price to drop? It was like 3 or 4 days ago. So one of the, I don't even know what they're called, on the blockchain, there was a transaction. Somebody offloaded like $110 million worth of Bitcoin that had not been on the market since it was minted in like 2010.
Oh, wow.
It's just, he was just like, I'm out, cash me out, I'm done. And that's a, if you really stop and think about that, that is phenomenal. That means that this man got in under 30 cents, held on through $1, $2, $3, $4, all the way up to like $1,000. Held on through 20, 30, 40, 60, 40, 30, 20, 18, and now back up to wherever we are before he sold. It's kind of amazing, but he single-handedly caused the price to drop. It was pretty awesome. Good for him. I would love to see how his life changes in the next little bit. Went from just like living a normal life to now I have $110 million.
Well, I would guess that wasn't his last Bitcoin purchase.
Sure, maybe you're right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But.
Well, since we're on that but topic.
I guess. I think in general, because the only way the war machine stops is if the dollar collapses. But that's not. So the dollar collapsing, some ways a good thing, just certainly not unmitigated good news, because the whole, you know, country falls apart, basically. And actually, the Chris Sky clip is related.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So I got it queued up here.
What's going on, everybody? Chris Sky here. And about a month ago, when I was in Mexico, I started telling y'all how they weren't accepting American dollars as much as they were before. And I told you all about a little economic alliance called BRICS, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, now joined by 10 more Southeast Asian countries, as well as Saudi Arabia and more Middle Eastern countries. Well, they're all no longer using US dollars. And I told you that means the US dollar only has one place to go, down. That also means the Canadian dollar only has one place to go, down. And when I told you all there's even a possibility of a so-called collapse of the U.S. dollar, I was called every name in the book. Well, somebody else agrees with me. In fact, Bank of America, the largest bank in the United States, I believe, has just issued a warning for 2024 where they say that the U.S. dollar is the most fragile it's ever been, world reserves are at the lowest, debt is at the highest and rising by $1 trillion every 100 days, and the dollar is at risk of complete collapse. Don't take it from Chris Sky. Listen to Bank of America. I just told you over a month ago.
Wow.
Yeah, spot the lie.
I don't see one.
Yeah. And you know, it doesn't mean it's going to happen fast. It could happen fast. You know, stuff happens slowly until it happens quickly. But it's not going to be a big shocker. Like, wait a second, there's banks failing. The dollar is failed. No one saw that coming. What are we going to do? Oh, we need a new world reserve currency system. Maybe the central banks could get together and issue some central bank digital currencies, and we could peg that to it's weird. We've got this solution just ready to go for the crisis that popped out of nowhere.
I got one of those cards that you always get. You know, I think I mentioned this to you. We were talking about earlier. The Chase sent me a card. Hey, open up a new account. Here's $600. Here's $300. We'll give it to you. Just open a new account, transfer this much, get a direct deposit, and then, we'll give you this bonus money or whatever. I'm like, cooled. How does this work? I'm going to read the fine print. On the back, it actually has verbiage, it references FedNow in the verbiage. Oh, on really? The back. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So.
What? In what context, though?
Oh, shoot. I don't have it with me. But it was talking about deposits and transfers within the accounts could be used in such and such denominations. And I don't know, it was some sort of FedNow reference, but because it also referenced sending, okay, no fees for, and this is based off memory. Please don't quote me. I don't have it in front of me, unfortunately. But it was no fees for sending money via Zelle or FedNow. So it like lumped it in.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, you could transfer payments using FedNow or Zelle. So, yeah.
And, what do you know? I'm just looking there. There's a Forbes article that Chris Guy had linked to. U.S. dollar debt spiral crisis fears grow after Bank of America issues shocking $1 trillion, $1 trillion every 100 days warning amid huge Bitcoin, Ethereum, XRP, and crypto price boom. And related story, the true currency, Elon Musk surprisingly sides with Bitcoin critic Warren Buffett amid crypto price swings. Is that surprising? Is it really surprising?
Right.
Elon and old Warren Buffett on the same side. It's imagine my shock.
Right. Well, I have kind of a out of the blue clip, not really related to what we're talking about here, but I think it's a good one. It's John MacArthur and John Piper talking about what it looks like to love people even when they've wronged you, which not really connected to the things we're talking about, but this is a Christian podcast. Those are two great Christian thinkers, and I thought they had some kind of words of wisdom that show just how tough our calling as Christians is when dealing with forgiveness and people that have wronged us.
R.C. would always say, when I'm in a foxhole, I'm going to call you.
That's good. Let's talk about the flip side of this, or maybe the deepest and darkest part of friendship, which is when a friend fails us. And we've all had that experience of betrayal, a friend that drifts into error, or a friend that drifts into sin. Maybe you could help the pastors here process what was a common experience for the Apostle Paul, for the Lord Jesus, when friends fail you. When that happens, how do you continue to pour yourself into the lives of people? How do you ensure that you don't become self-protective, but you continue to invest and pour in and love your friends, even when friends fail? Talk a little bit about that experience in ministry, Pastor John MacArthur.
Well, I guess for me, it goes back to our Lord and Judas, or it goes back to Paul and Demas. The best of the best of the best of the best are going to be betrayed. And the more you invest in someone, the more potential they have to devastate you. So you can be gun shy. My dad told me when I was just starting out in ministry, something you referred to a minute ago, don't make close friends with the people you serve with, because you'll find yourself being so terribly disappointed. I usually took my dad's advice. I never took that advice. Because it was overpowered for me by the experience of Christ, and not just with Judas, but even with Peter. If he was disappointed with Judas, who was a devil, how much more disappointed was he with Peter, who was a true believer? So who am I to expect loyalty from everybody all the time? And we know what Paul endured, whether it was John Mark or Demas or whatever, and who knows all the other stories, all in Asia have forsaken me. How can you come to the end of your ministry and say, everybody has forsaken me? How is that even possible? And you're the Apostle Paul, and you're the reason that anybody is even a Christian. But you have to understand that that goes with the territory. Mm-hmm. That's part of it. And you can't, I mean, you do some inventory in your own heart. Could I have done something different? But for me, the Lord has always balanced that with many more who are faithful over the long haul. And I focus on that and rest in the fact that if it was true of the Apostle Paul and of our Lord, I should probably expect a whole lot more disloyalty than I get.
You know, there's an interesting connection that I didn't see until about 3 years ago in the Demas text. In verse 7, I think it's, I've fought the good fight, I've finished the course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me, and not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing. And two verses later, Demas disappeared in love for the world. And so I think one answer to the question of how you survive Demas is by loving the second coming, which generalized means something like this. This world is one conveyor belt of disappointments. I mean, every day has a disappointment in it. Some situation didn't go the way you want. Somebody lets you down. Life is disappointment. Some of them are awful. Demas probably broke his heart. But he so loved Christ, and he so loved the second coming, and he knew that everything's going to be worked out. It's all going to be okay. So I think having a heavenly mindset, which is the way Jesus told us to deal with slander in Matthew 5, right? When they say all kinds of evil against you falsely, rejoice and be glad. Why? Great is your reward in heaven. So how do you even function in the midst of slander unless you love heaven, unless you believe in the future, the world to come? So that's one piece. And another piece I'd say about betrayal is don't become embittered. Lean into reconciliation possibilities. It might seem absolutely impossible that this relationship could be fixed. It's just not going to happen. It's just so ugly. Don't believe that. God does miracles. So the worst betrayal I ever experienced was 1993. 7-year adultery. Man I'd worked with for 10 years. Devastated the church. 230 people left in those days. I think we had about an attendance of 1,200 in those days. 230 people walk because they didn't like church discipline. And I had dinner with that man 10 years later. And we wept, and we held each other, and I attended his funeral, and I hugged his wife, and we made it okay. It was okay. We're going to be in heaven together, and that's possible, guys. It's really possible. And your job is to believe that and not to be the one who's just sneering and saying, you just get out of my life and you stay out of my life because of what you wrecked in this church or what you wrecked in my relationships. So believe the miracle is possible, that reconciliation could happen.
You know, building on that, I think you also have to look at that person as an instrument through which the Lord is perfecting you.
That's right.
Those are the best times for your spiritual benefit. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They tear down your pride and self-confidence and sense of privilege and expected rights. And if you will look at the person that hurt you the most as the instrument that God used, then you'll understand what Paul was talking about when he wrote to the Corinthians about the thorn in the flesh. And the Lord said, I'm not going to remove it, because when you're the weakest, you're the strongest. And I think we're never going to be too weak to be effective.
Mm-hmm. Good conversation. A couple of guys that know a little bit about the Bible.
Yeah, that was good. Kind of reminds me of, I don't know how many years ago, the shooting in the black church.
Oh, yeah. During the Obama years, right?
Yeah, I think so. And was it?
Yeah. It's going to be, it's like South Carolina.
Is that
Georgia? Long? Georgia. Is it Georgia?
But almost immediately after, in the story about it, you heard people from that church being interviewed and they talked about forgiveness. I mean, it was absolutely unbelievable. But not a human, not a reaction in the flesh, put it that way. So,
I was wrong. No, it was, I guess that is Biden, or excuse me, gosh, Freudian slip there. It was Obama, June 17th, 2015, Charleston, South Carolina shooting, anti-black mass shooting, hate crime that occurred. African Methodist Episcopal Church. Didn't seem like that long ago.
We were doing the show in 20. Yeah, we were definitely doing the show in 2015.
We have been doing the show for 4 years at that point, Andrew.
Yeah.
So I saw one the other day. It was like, hey, by the way, 2020 was not 2 years ago. It was, or no, 2019 is not 2 years ago. It was almost 5 years ago. It's like, oh no. How did this happen?
Yep.
On an accelerated post-COVID timeline.
I guess so, yeah.
All right.
I don't really want to go back to it now, but one more side note on the whole BRICS thing.
Yeah.
The Saudis getting involved is very interesting.
It's problematic.
A crazy amount of money. Crazy amount of money. I mean, and there's, I threw in an article about the city in the middle of the desert that's like, look at all the dirt I'm moving for billions and billions. It's like, okay, but you don't have a, there's nothing there. What is going on?
Yeah.
And, you know, my niche interest in golf, what's happened? Still very few people pay attention to LIV. But they have, which is the...
Yeah, how is all that? I was going to ask you about that. So, and people may be interested to learn this. So last we know, Greg Norman starts LIV and it pulls all these huge golfers. But I think that I either read or you told us here on the show that all kind of collapsed and that most of the guys were going back to the PGA.
So they started it and Norman was like, well, first of all, they offered Tiger Woods like $1 billion. He didn't take it. To do what Greg Norman is doing. So Greg Norman took the money. So then he was recruiting players. And they've got, you know, pretty big name players. The most recent one, John Rahm, who was, you know, for quite a while, the number one player in the world. And had said, oh, no, you know, my life wouldn't be any different with, you know, the amount of money I have now versus hundreds of millions of dollars more. Well, they gave him $600 million. So he went to LIV. And there was an agreement, like in principle, but not contractual, apparently, that we talked about a little bit last year, where they said, we're going to merge, basically, okay, Saudis, you could pay a bunch of money, but we still get to control the PGA Tour, and we'll look at maybe the players being able to play both. It was kind of the idea.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, well, the Saudis get what they want, and everyone's, it'll just kind of go back to being how the PGA Tour used to be, right? Just with more money involved. Really hasn't happened at all. So LIV is still having events that no one's paying attention to. PGA Tour is still having events that people are paying less attention to because the good players aren't there anymore. And it's just kind of bad for golf in general. But, I mean, they've got insane amounts of money. And it's like, very, I don't know. It's like for that amount of money, like why couldn't you build something as opposed to just breaking what was there? And then at the same time, I feel no sympathy for the PGA Tour because it's like, oh, yeah, you know, FedEx is our biggest sponsor and FedEx is highly involved in Saudi Arabia. So it's not like the good guys and the bad guys, but because they tried to push that angle for a while, like, oh, it's Saudi money. It's bad. Like the American corporations are corporate sponsors of the PGA Tour are good, but basically the corporate sponsors for the PGA Tour are bailing out because to try and compete with LIV, they're like, okay, we're going to make the prize purses way larger, which means you have to charge the sponsors way more. And the sponsors are like, no, I'm not paying, you know, I'm not paying $20, $30, $40 million to sponsor a golf tournament when the best players in the world aren't even going to be there. Like, how do you make money? There's no business case for that. So it's basically kind of wrecking golf in a lot of ways. And I think it's kind of a microcosm because there's a lot of oil money over there, but man, show me like a company they've built from the ground up. That's like, you know, I don't know. Entrepreneurship is not a strong suit. Seems, at least that's what it seems to be. So then is there, but with that amount of money and power combined with China, you know, some of the Asian countries that can build stuff, we got a great reset coming.
Because
they know they have to get out of the dollar. Everybody knows the reset's coming. It's just kind of like who goes first, right? Like they know we're not going to be able to keep just pumping oil and pricing everything in U.S. dollars and everything will be good for the next 50 years. There's an awareness on all sides, except for possibly Joe Biden, that this is all coming to an end.
Well, the rest of the world might have a little PTSD because every time you try to move away from the dollar, your country gets invaded, you get raped with a broomstick. I mean, it's like, it's not a good... No. Not a notorious way for really sticking your thumb in the eye of the globalists. It's just right. Like, hey, they will invade you. You will get, you know, Saddam Hussein got hung. He was pulled out of a hole. And, Gaddafi was raped with a broomstick. I mean, it never ends well for the you know, Venezuela, other, you know, people moving away from the dollar. All of a sudden, weird stuff starts happening in your country. So... You think the Saudis are in on it? It's an inside job from the deep state? Hey, you move away from it slowly. And
I think BRICS is an inside job from the real power structure, right? Because, I mean, there's Russia's still all in on the vax, right? Like, it's like there's levels. Ultimately, there's a spiritual level to it that's building world government. And whether that all comes together in the near term or partially comes together, falls apart, which is kind of what I think will happen. And, you know, it goes in cycles and eventually you get to the actual kind of end time scenario. Could be hundreds or thousands of years from now, but they're trying, they're being driven in a common agenda. But it's not the U.S. from a like nationalistic perspective that's calling the shots anymore.
No.
Not that we ever really were, but
I feel like they've been trying to tear us down since the sexual revolution in the 60s and feminism. I mean, this has been a controlled demolition from the inside out.
You could go back to the Revolutionary War if you want to, or War of 1812, or Civil War. You know, it's the New Atlantis project, but you gotta, what happened to Atlantis, right? Eventually you gotta bring it down. So that's cheery. But
well, I just gotta say it then. If there is a, like, let's say the power goes out for an extended period of time, there's an earthquake, there's something, and then you have just an absolute ton of illegal immigrants in the country. That's a bad situation. Power outage, it's just like long-term power outage with the illegal aliens. You know, any kind of natural disaster is just become much, much worse. The chances of looting are astronomical. The chances for vigilantism are astronomical with the amount of people that are going to be in the, in the migrant situation.
Yeah, not great. And man, you look in the cities, it's a tough scene now with the power on and everything's still functional. And I mean, the big friendly, we've got very tiny tent cities compared to Portland or Seattle, but it's rough down there. I've been spending a lot of time downtown lately, and there's some pretty rough areas, and it's kind of the expectation it's on the rebound to a certain extent. But yeah, if you had some sort of collapse scenario, the big cities anywhere, even red states, is not really the place to be. But then you got the Texas ranchers.
Yeah.
Got everything they need. They're on a well. They got a generator hooked up to the well. Oh, fire wipes it all out. You know, then your generator doesn't do any good when it's tough to be prepared for everything.
Yeah. That's true. That's why you and I have both prepared for absolutely nothing.
Well, you know, I've
as you like to say, spot the lie. Tell me where
I had. I had storable food at one time. We got to get a report from Will. I'm sure he's chowing through that.
Yeah, it's . It's a tough deal. I mean, we have, it's kind of weird. Maybe we should be prepping. Maybe we should be headed in that sort of direction. I saw some actually debates on whether or not it was biblical in the old prepper threads. So that was interesting. But yeah, a lot of preppers in the RRN community getting ready for whatever comes. So probably get some ham radios so that we can at least talk to each other if everything goes south. Teaming up is probably better than nothing. One of the threads that was thrown into the prepper telegram before people even really started posting, I think Reno threw it in there, and I might have mentioned it previously, but talks about a gentleman who survived in Bosnia when his city was surrounded, nobody in or out for a year.
Wow.
And just kind of how that all went down. Very dark look into what that would look like. Not a great scene. So, but one of the things that he mentioned was that didn't matter how well prepared you were if you didn't have a large group, because you can't keep a constant watch.
Right.
So you got to rotate through the watch. Got to sleep. Yep. All right.
Yeah, you got to have something. You got to bring something to the table, but you need people who want you to live and that bring something else to the table too, right? So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
you don't want to be the, yeah, it's kind of like my be nice to the kid in the long black trench coat in high school.
Yeah.
Theory. Like, you just in case. So.
Never know, right?
Yep.
Revelations Radio News.
The blow out your eardrums.
Yep.
Sorry about that.
Show 348. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting. Do you want me to read the names there?
Yes, please.
We've got actually a lot of PayPal. It looks like our monthly PayPal people.
Yep.
Although I feel like some of these names pop up more than once a month. But Robert sent us $5. Thank you, Robert. Kyle sent us $10 and a nice email. Thank you, Kyle. With a documentary recommendation, which I've only seen part of that, so I need to go back and watch it. Autumn sent us $10. Thank you, Autumn. Penny sent us $20. Thank you, Penny. And via Gives and Go, Danny sent us $25. I got a feeling that... Did that really not come until the 4th?
Well, the show came out on Saturday. I'm not sure. The date might be wrong on what I posted in there. Sorry.
Well, you just might have posted all the PayPals first.
Yeah. Yeah. Instead of Danny first.
Usually, Danny is.
I typically put Danny first, regardless of what order they come in. So, because he is, there's nobody who posts immediately after the show is posted like he does. So,
yeah. And that's, you know, if we did more shows, his donation streak would probably be the longest in podcasting.
What's that?
But we don't do enough shows.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got the twice a week or three times a week people that pumping out the shows. We do the once a week ish. But yes, thank you very much, Danny. And everyone else on that list and everyone else who is listening. We appreciate you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for supporting the show and keeping it so that it is not just a labor of love, but that we get a little bit of monetary value, even if it's just to kind of keep the lights on and help pay for the expanding grocery bills that we are both facing at this point. I think everybody's facing them.
Yeah.
Revelations Radio.
I had a homeless guy stop me in a gas station parking lot today.
Okay.
And he said, I have money. Can you go buy me some things from inside? So I'm like, all right. And, you know, I don't smoke, so I don't. Didn't have a good feel for the price of cigarettes. So one tiny, tiny pack of cigarettes, a Dr. Pepper, and a lighter. Just a can of Dr. Pepper, tiny pack of cigarettes, lighter. Guess the total.
I smoked. I smoked from 20 years old, 19 years old to 28. So I do... probably see them more than you do, like just a force of habit, like see the price of them because I at one point cared. So I might have an advantage over you on this, but I'm gonna go $18.75.
Oh, you're real close. Yeah, it was like 17 something.
Yeah. So I couldn't believe it when I, like I said, just a subconscious thing. I still see the prices on occasion. Whereas you've never cared about that whole section, so you probably never see anything, right?
Yeah.
But I remember seeing it over $10 and then closer. I was like, oh, that's noteworthy. Because when I smoked, it was is right about 5, but bordering on 6, 7, 8, depending. You know, you get good deals at 5, but you're looking at 6, 7, 8. And then when I noticed when it came over 10, and now I've noticed, like, I'm like, is it really 15 now? I mean, that is nuts. $15 yeah. for a pack. It's wild.
Yeah. It's,
somebody kicked him out or what? Why do you have to have Andrew go in there and buy it for you?
Yes. So I got in there and she's, and I referenced, she's like, well, what kind of Newports do you want? I'm like, I don't know.
That's a trick question. That's a trick question, by the way. There's only one, there's only two actually kinds of Newports, I think, or three: regular, hundreds, and lights. But but the answer is Newports. Most people just smoke straight Newports.
Yeah. So I referenced him, and he was in a wheelchair hiding behind a vehicle out there. And she's like, oh, did he? She's like, yeah, he's not allowed in here. So I'm like, well, that explains why. And I'm like, he gave me the money for it. She's like, yeah, I'm sorry that he bothered you, but yeah. Didn't really bother me. Just a guy with sitting in a wheelchair with bandages on his feet. Looked like he might have had them amputated, and jeans that weren't pulled all the way up. They were around, you know, thigh high. It's rough, man. Spending money that he probably got from panhandling on cigarettes and soda. So,
yeah.
Not a great scene.
So. Yep. I bought a gentleman. I don't even know if he was homeless, but I bought a gentleman coffee the other day, sitting in a coffee shop with no coffee. And just had a feeling. So I got the urging and asked him, hey, you want a cup of coffee? Yeah, I'll take one. So who knows? If I'm buying him coffee, he can't turn my 12-ounce mocha into a, you know, shot of heroin or something. So I don't have to walk away feeling like it was, you know, I know what I got.
I was going
to
ask, what was his order, or what was your order?
Well, I said to him, I said, you want some coffee? He said, sure. And I said, okay, you take it just black, or you want the cream and sugar? He's like, I don't really know. Because it's an expensive coffee shop, so he didn't order there much. And then, but then come to find out, he's standing with me in line, and he goes, actually, that lady who's working, I drink whatever it is that she drinks. She's made it for me a couple times. So I was like, oh, okay. She's like, I drink a white chocolate mocha. I was like, there you go. Cool. I guess I'll take out a second mortgage on my house. Then. No, I'm just kidding. It went from $2.50 to $5.50. Yeah,
I don't really know. I'll just take a white chocolate mocha with an extra shot. And, yeah.
And half and half with some whipped cream and how cool, you know, super large.
Yeah, it's... I'm not sure if Dutch Brothers does, but, you know, Scooters, they will make it with heavy cream.
Oh, I think most of the places will. The half and half, yeah. Yep. I'm a big fan of dairy, unless it's in my coffee. Mmm. Just like a black, like my soul. Black.
Just dump some straight copper in there, good to go.
Glycine. All right, tip for everybody out there. I don't know if this is words of wisdom, but here's a tip for everybody. What you want is glycine to go to sleep with. So it has amino acids, and it's a much higher quality sleep. I've heard the ultimate is to get glycine pill or powder form, magnesium pill or powder form, and then you get a little bit of baking soda, throw it in some water. So... Helps you sleep. They call it the fizzy sleep drink. But yeah, that's a tip for everybody. Glycine, amino acids, awesome for sleep. Makes it a more restful sleep. I don't know how it works. I don't know the science, but I know that it works for me for sure.
I appreciate the tip.
Yes, sir. Anybody else out there? Give them your. Give him heck. by sleeping.
The Epsom salts, you could probably just do the glycine in the drink and Epsom salts and a nice soothing bath.
Yeah.
Similar effect there.
Yeah. I thought the baking soda ad was interesting, though, because it's a sodium bicarbonate. It's like kind of anti-acidic. It's a more base.
Hmm.
Yeah, so.
Actually, there's, I forget which alternative health person, but I think baking soda was a good bath ad as well. So, but I guess there's actual baking soda.
Mm-hmm.
And then but Arm & Hammer's no good. It's artificial. Is that
really?
See something about that? Yeah.
There you go.
Don't do your own research, but
yeah, absolutely.
I saw it on the internet, so it's probably accurate.
Absolutely.
I don't have much else, man. What, you got anything else you want to talk about?
No, sir. Let's wrap it. You got any words of wisdom for us?
Not really. Not other than what we've talked about. Sorry for no real conclusion. Just if anyone's got any hot takes or even some actual research on the Texas wildfire situation, I would be interested.
Yeah, and I don't have an opinion on what's going on with the banks either. I don't know which way is up on this deal, and anybody's got any hot takes on that, feel free to send them in. Just wanted to let everybody know I've been thinking about it, but it's not a fully formed conclusion, and there definitely is some stuff happening, but there's been some stuff happening since, I don't know, probably since before I can remember, but definitely since somewhere around September 2008 when I started noticing some things going sideways. So anyway, keep an eye on the financials. Also, I wanted to point out there is a prayer request section of the Telegram. If people need prayer, go ahead and throw something in the prayer request section. I bet you get some prayer pretty quick.
Yeah. So,
don't forget about that, guys.
Good tip.
Yeah. And I'll pray us out real quick and we'll wrap it up with that.
Sounds good.
Dear Lord Jesus, I just want to pray for all of the listeners and their pocketbooks. Lord, it's a strange time, and it seems like everybody is struggling. I just pray for monetary blessings on everybody listening to this show. Bless each and every person that they may have abundance, and that they may be able to tithe and give to others out of their abundance and be a good steward of the financial and monetary value that you can bless them with. Help them to learn to be a good steward of it and to get through these times and to continue to look to you as the one who will solve their problems, Lord. Help us not to lean on our own understanding of our own checking accounts and income and outgoing and tithing and all this stuff, but to just read your word and lean on you to help take care of each of those things. Bless each person that can hear my voice now. Help them to have a great week. Pray all those things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, man.
Well, thanks for doing a show, Tim. Thanks. Coming back from big meeting.
Yeah.
So you people out there should be thankful. This was not guaranteed. This was a low percentage having a show week, and it happened. So
it happened. Yeah. I think we did good. I'm glad we did it too. So always good to talk to you and talk to all our friends out there. Hope everybody does have a great week. And do you have any words of wisdom for us, man? Nothing?
Money isn't everything. How about that?
Yeah.
So money can buy you some golfers, but it can't buy the important things.
Absolutely not.
All right. Have a good week, and thank you, everybody out there.
All right. See you guys.
A copy of this podcast, as well as links to each story covered, are available at revelationsradionews.com. To contact Andrew and Tim, or to support Revelations Radio News, please visit revelationsradionews.com and click on the Contact tab or Support tab. Please check out the other podcasts at revelationsradionetwork.com, and thank you for your support of this podcast. Don't you see?